just as quick as it came, it is gone. 28 Winter Olympic Games are over. Closing ceremonies were yesterday night and morning, depending on where you were. Medal count was final, and the USA placed fourth in that. Closing ceremonies, it had a few drones, Ivanka Trump, and no Russian flags. Joining us one last time from Pyeongchang is ABC News correspondent Alex Stone. Good morning, Alex, or good night. I'm not really sure which.
Good morning to you. And it was quite a show last night. And it was last night for us, U.S. time. It was yesterday morning, as you mentioned. But the light, the music, passing off the Olympic flag to China, to Beijing. Beijing going to become the first city to ever host both the Summer Games and the Winter Games in 2022, 4 years. The next Winter Games will be in Beijing. It's actually going to be outside of Beijing, but Beijing's getting the credit for it. And then with children waving to the flame, it slowly faded away in the cauldron. It went out, and then the Winter Olympics were over.
I thought it was a stunning display last night for the closing ceremonies. What's important about that stadium, though, is that they're going to take it down. I think South Korea is being really smart about this. Instead of building a brand new stadium, they're going to actually tear that stadium down.
Yeah, from the beginning, the plan was that the stadium and a lot of the venues, or at least the press areas and the stands of the venues, are not permanent. They will stand through the Paralympic Games, and then it will all come down. So the stadium was built to hold 35,000 people. Now that they're done with the Olympics, they'll do the opening and closing for the Paralympics and then knock it down. And that was the plan all along. Their thinking is, we're up here in the mountains. They don't have a team that's going to play in a stadium. They don't need it. Why let all of this just rot like we have seen in other cities and other countries that have held the Olympics, where they build these things and then they can't get anybody to use them? So they built them knowing that they were going to be temporary. Even though they still cost a lot of money, they didn't cost quite as much as it would have been if they were building a permanent stadium and permanent facilities at the ski areas. So, it's going to come down. It's a unique way. It's the only, at least the first Olympics that has done it that way. But that may be a model that other countries and other cities decide to use.
Is there anything that's going to be sticking around for the long term that was built up for these games?
You know, there are some arenas for hockey and some of the other things, but many of them were already in place. Those were about 40 minutes away from here in the coastal complex, which is a much bigger city, about 40 miles. And those areas, they will keep a lot of what was built up because they have a use for it in the bigger town. But up here in the mountains, in Pyeongchang itself, that this area, they just have no need for it, so they planned all along that they would knock it down when they were done.
Alex, I had to let you tell you about a text that I had to send my wife on Friday, and I said, hey, wife, I'm going out. The guys want to watch curling at a bar. I went to a bar on Friday night with my buddies, and we watched that amazing Olympic gold medal match between America and Sweden. That was unbelievable.
Yeah, and you don't hear that about curling very often.
No.
And it was unbelievable, and the people are going to bars. Yeah, it was amazing. John Schuster, the captain of the team, what he was able to do. Only 4 years ago, he was looked over after the Sochi Games because the U.S. didn't do very well. USA Curling said, you know what, we are going to revamp our curling. We are going to get our guys in shape, and John Schuster, you aren't the man to do it. Well, he got into shape. He lost about 40 pounds. He put together that team known as the Ragtag Crew, and they clawed their way back, and they made it to the Olympics. In the Olympics, they didn't do very well in the round robin play. They went 2-4. Nobody thought they were going to be going for the gold, and then through the quarterfinals and the semifinals into the gold medal match, they did it and became the first ever American men to win gold in curling. And it was quite a match. You know, I can't say that I typically get excited about curling, but you should have heard all of us in our office here in Pyeongchang hooting and hollering and screaming and, oh, you know, I learned a lot about five spots. And, you know, we quickly learned about curling, and it was quite a match. And we take gold for the first time ever for Team USA.
Was that the final gold that the U.S. had earned in this Olympiad?
I'm trying to think back. I think it was because, you know, we had a lot of golds this go around in sports that we didn't typically get them in. Cross-country skiing, in women's hockey, which we haven't had in 20 years, in men's curling. And we didn't get them in a lot of the things that we typically do get them in speed skating and some of the alpine events. But yeah, this would have been the last one. But up against Norway, getting 39 medals, the U.S. only 23. Team USA says it's going to have to do some soul-searching. It's going to look at Norway and see, okay, what are they doing to be so successful to win a record 39 medals? In 2010 in Vancouver, the U.S. had the record, 37 medals. That's now been beaten by Norway. But Norway had so many gold medals, they ran out of gold shoes. They give their gold medalists gold shoes to wear at the ceremony, and they didn't have enough left because they won a lot more gold medals than they thought they were going to win.
Oh, my. That is something. But you know, realistically, though, fourth in the medal count isn't really bad for the U.S. I mean, 9 golds, 8 silvers, and 6 bronze.
Yeah, unfortunately, though, for Team USA, they had predicted 37 just based on the numbers of what they were looking at and where their athletes were, and that all goes into sponsorship deals and how much people spend and the television rights and commercials for thinking of what the demand is going to be and what people are going to be paying attention to. So for Team USA, it's a loss. They wanted it to be a lot higher. They are disappointed about it, but you're right. Then again, you look at, you know, USA had the largest delegation here. Norway had a relatively small delegation, and they still, you know, wiped us clean. That Team USA is disappointed, but it's not horrible. There are other countries that did a whole lot worse.
It just means less people on the Wheaties box. That's what it just means to me, you know?
No, they're still going to be on the Wheaties and the cornflakes yeah. boxes. Those were set long before the Olympics. Okay. Nathan Chen didn't have the greatest Olympics, but he's on cornflakes.
Okay. I'm going to try to put in a petition for you to be on a Wheaties box as well. Alex, thank you very much for your coverage of the Winter Olympics during these last couple of weeks. I hope your plane ride home is very safe and uneventful.
You got it. Sounds good. Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
That is ABC News correspondent and favorite son of Santa Rosa, of course, Alex Stone, reporting one last time from South Korea.